as you'll see in the screen there, the theme for this evening, Christ, our first fruits. We want to look at this wonderful expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. We obviously need to understand what we mean by first fruits. That's why we see in the screen there, first fruits first. But then the more considering what Paul tells us here in his letter to the Corinthians, Jesus, the first fruits, taking the relation to the promise of Christ as our first fruits, and Jesus as our pioneer, he who was first raised from the dead to everlasting life, Christ, our first fruits. Just read the particular verses again that we want to focus our hearts on, verse 20, 21, and 22, well, 33 and 4. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all sin, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. And here's the aspect of pioneer, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm just going to echo again this evening, something I suppose that's very much in my own mind at this time. I'm about to complete 12 years of ministry here in Livingston. And I know there's still a midweek meeting to take, but very much this is a completion of 12 years. Maybe 12 years is a particular significant time, I don't know, but certainly in a sense, I want to sign off this 12 years where we really all ought to begin and all ought to end. I want to, as it were, sign off this 12 years of service with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is Lord and he is Savior and he is the reason for your salvation and my salvation, and with whom better and what better to mark fully a particular passing of time in ministry than with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never left me these 12 years. I've certainly failed him many, many times in these 12 years, but he's never left me. He has shown his steadfast love and faithfulness over these years. And he is my Savior, so I pray your Savior. And he's to be glorified. And I pray that, yes, the Lord Jesus will be glorified here in Livingston, certainly so long as God gives me strength to continue the work of ministry here, and in the inevitability of time, the time when God will call me forth to beyond here. I pray that, yes, the gospel will still be proclaimed here. The name of the Lord Jesus continue to be glorified here in West Lothian and particularly through the congregation of Livingston Free Church. Of course, there are many passages we could refer to as when we want to express the joy and the presence, the power, the grace, the love of the Lord Jesus, his work, the gifts that he's given to his church. But we're going to turn to this passage part of the passage anyway that we read in this chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, because we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus and all his grace, all his love, his presence, his power, his work, his gifts to those who are his. Because this passage speaks of Jesus as the first fruits. Then you might ask, well, why are we turning to this particular emphasis of Jesus being first fruits? What does this passage tell us? What is this passage telling us about the Lord Jesus? Well, we do need to turn first of all to the meaning, first fruits first, if you like, first fruits in context. And those of you who were at the annual congregational meeting on Wednesday, you'll remember that's what we highlighted, or we were highlighting particular aspects of what first fruit signifies in relation to our giving to the Lord. We began that meeting with a short address on the importance of our spiritual giving to the Lord. We saw that this emphasis on first fruits, we'll come to the origin of the word in a minute, but first fruits that spoke of our giving of ourselves to the Lord and giving of our resources to the Lord. And the whole aspect of that giving, that spiritual foundation of our giving, really concerning a heart of sacrifice, a heart of devotion, a devotion to the Lord and thankfulness to God who's given us all things, given us all that we need for life. He's given to us, to me and to you, all that we need of his power, of his might, of his grace. And what he's given for our temporal needs, of course, he's given for our spiritual needs. And because of what God has given to us, we're to give back to God. And that emphasis on our giving to God was directed or stemmed from the whole biblical concept of first fruits, something that we see both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Because as we saw in the original meaning of first fruits, as we noticed in the Old Testament, first fruits spoke and speaks of what's first, what was best. In the original meaning, what was best from the produce of the land and what was best to be offered to God in thankfulness and really expectation of future harvest to come. So the first fruits, the giving of the best, the giving of a measure of the best to the Lord, giving it in sacrifice, giving it in worship to God. As we said, thankfulness, expectation of future harvest, honoring God, because God had created all that exists, all of creation, everything belongs to God. And so what's first and what's best belongs to God and to be given back to God. And that obligation to give back to God, to give to him a measure of what God has given to his people. Well, we see that first of all in Exodus 23:19, where we read, "The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." And from that we learn or derive from that command that all who love God are to give God what's best. And that, of course, as we notice on Wednesday evening, that involves you. All who are Christ by faith, all who serve him, all who know him as Lord and Savior, you give back to God. You give to him your very self. And further stated in the New Testament, when we read of first fruits in relation to believers, we read in James 1 verse 18 that believers are a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. First fruits, just as with the Old Testament concept of first fruits being devoted to God, believers being devoted to God, special to God, specially God's chosen people, chosen by God, chosen to love him, chosen to serve him, chosen to glorify him. Now, we will come to bring all this to the Lord Jesus Christ, but we've still got to grasp first fruits in the, as it were, the original sense. Believers, even first fruits, devoted to God, giving of self what God has blessed. First fruits were to be set apart for God. Believers are set apart, holy, holy to God, a holy people, not through any merit of our own, but because of the merits of the Lord Jesus. And you give to him in response to all that the Savior has given to you, because he's given you his righteousness when he died on the cross for you, when he bore your sins and that cross in Calvary. First fruits, finally, were offered annually, offered with the annual sacrifice. And you can say this, that believers are part of the great harvest of God. And you who know him as Lord, as Savior, you're a testimony of that harvest. And there's the promise of a much greater, a future, a glorious gathering of the Lord's people in that great harvest of the world when Jesus returns. And the dead in Christ will rise, and all who are his with him forever, in the new heavens and the new earth. And it's that connection between the first fruits of the harvest, that annual remembering of God's faithfulness, what was expressed in the giving of the first fruits to God, was that connection with the first fruits that we read of in the Old Testament and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what we read there in 1 Corinthians 15 of Jesus, Jesus being the first fruits, in fact, mentioned twice in that short passage that we read. Because we have to see in Jesus, as it were, the fuller expression of the biblical concept of first fruits. And that connection that ties in all that we've been seeing of the Old Testament first fruits, bringing it to the Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of first fruits. Because if all scripture points to the Lord Jesus, then what we've already seen in the Old Testament regarding first fruits takes us to the Lord Jesus. What we've read of believers as being first fruits takes us to the Lord Jesus. Because that's what exactly we saw there in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus, the first fruits. I suppose we have to say that this is maybe not the most common or certainly a very usual way of speaking of Jesus. Because of course, when we think of Jesus, when we refer to our Savior, well, we can refer to him in different ways. We speak of Jesus as Lord, as Savior, as Redeemer, as Elder Brother, as the Suffering Servant. But we don't speak of Jesus very often, do we, as first fruits. But we must, we have to. I mean, it's scriptural for a start. And it's so important to realize what we're saying when we're speaking of Jesus as first fruits. What it means for the sake of the Lord's people. The great scope that this word, first fruits, tells us. The scope of Jesus' love, the scope of Jesus' work, the scope of Jesus' grace for his people is included in this word and expression of Jesus as first fruits. And why we've read this particular section of 1 Corinthians 15, this section that tells of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and how his resurrection guarantees the resurrection of all who are in Christ, all who have slept in him, who have died in him before the Lord Jesus returns. And it's the emphasis that Paul gives us here in this passage, how Jesus' resurrection guarantees the resurrection of believers. We see that in context of Jesus, the first fruits. And even if we tie in what we're thinking of this morning in our morning service, because in our morning service, you remember, we focused on the subject of time. Time under heaven. Time lived under the sovereignty of God. Time lived in his presence, under his control, this side of eternity. But we've got to see the fuller picture. We've got to see, in fact, this was mentioned again this morning, that one day, time as we know it will end when Jesus returns. And his being the first fruits, as John Paul tells us here, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. And we have to see that in connection with the end of time, with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, when Jesus, having risen from the dead, has ascended to heaven, and one day will return from heaven to earth and bring into his glorious kingdom all who are his. So what do we see then in Christ being the first fruits, as Paul tells us here, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep? Well, we come to see that the Lord Jesus is the guarantee of your resurrection, the resurrection on that last day. And that really tells us a promise. See again verses 19 to 20. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So Paul, remember, he's writing this particular chapter to tell of the resurrection of believers in that last day. And Paul wants his readers to be in absolutely no doubt that because the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead, raised on that third day after his death, then all who are in Christ, who have died in Christ, all will rise to newness of life in that last day. And so Paul writes of that sure hope that every believer in Christ has of his resurrection, her resurrection, when the Lord Jesus returns. On Friday morning, that truth came to me very, very spectacularly, I might say. I was attending a webinar hosted by an organization called Release International. It's an organization that's involved in the alerting ourselves to the trials of the persecuted church. And there were different speakers who spoke about different parts of the world of the persecuted church. And one particular indigenous believer, one very wise, godly man, this man spoke of a young martyr, who died aged 25. This young man who was about to be executed for his Christian faith. And that young man, before his death, he quoted the words we've just read, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. And he announced, just before he died, he announced that his hope in Christ, it wasn't only for his short life, but it was for all eternity. And he had that assurance that he'll rise and be with Christ forever. And as that much older godly man spoke these very words, the very point that he spoke these words on my other computer screen, it so happened as I was preparing for this evening that these words were there. That young East African martyr, he had the same sure hope of eternal life that Paul had, and I pray that you have. And that's what Paul is expressing here, the sure hope of eternal life in the Lord Jesus. And Paul has written this, he's writing this to assure his readers, to assure you, to assure me, to assure all of us of that certainty. The certainty of that hope-centered resurrection, the promise of resurrection, the Lord Jesus. And Paul wants to express that sure hope by using this reference of first fruits, of Jesus as first fruits. Then again, why is Paul speaking of Jesus as first fruits in relation to resurrection? Well, this is where we have to go back to what we're thinking of on Wednesday evening in our readings from Leviticus 23. If you remember, we were looking at the Jewish feast of weeks, the harvest Thanksgiving. And at that harvest Thanksgiving, it happened once a year, the first sheaf of grain was waved by a priest, waved before the Lord. It was a symbol of the harvest to come. And that first sheaf was known as the first fruits. And it symbolized the guarantee of a good harvest to come. That sheaf was waved on the day after the Jewish Sabbath, in other words, our first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. You see, Paul's using first fruits here when he's referring to the Lord Jesus. Because, of course, Jesus rose on that first day after the Jewish Sabbath, that first day of the week. And Jesus, as our first fruits, guarantees the harvest to come, the harvest of resurrected souls on that last day. And your hope, the hope of all who are in Christ, that hope of resurrection, it's guaranteed because Jesus has already risen. We might put it like this, his resurrection body has been waved before us as a sign that all who are in Christ will rise from the grave to that that newness of life in him. And so, you know, whenever even we talk of resurrection, let's not just think of resurrection once a year at Easter time. Let's continue to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So when you're thinking of resurrection and giving glory to God for the resurrection of Jesus, you're also at the same time, you're affirming that you who are in Christ, you also will rise to everlasting life. And so to speak of Jesus as the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep gives you or re-emphasizes that sure hope that you have that death isn't the end. And that your life in Christ, that life in Christ is a certainty because Jesus died and Jesus rose again from the dead. And as he died for you, he rose for you. And his rising is that guarantee that your life in Christ is no mere short-lived blessing. Your life in Christ is an eternal blessing that's never going to end because of Jesus, the first fruits. But we can also say this, that with Jesus being described as the first fruits, it tells of the promise that all believers have of resurrection. See, the first fruits, remember in the Old Testament, the first fruits were presented to God annually. And they were presented in faith. Faith that God would provide for subsequent harvests. And the resurrection of Jesus our first fruits. The resurrection of Jesus gives you that sure promise of that final once for all sacrifice when all the sheaves will be brought into the kingdom. And then be no more harvest of souls, because the gathering will be complete. And I ask you then, will you be amongst that final gathering of the Lord's people? Will you be amongst, as it were, the sheaves, having been gathered in, and knowing the blessing of the presence of our Saviour eternally? Christ, I promise. But then, secondly, in relation to Jesus, the first fruits, Christ, our pioneer. Because Paul just doesn't mention Christ, the Lord Jesus, first fruits once. He mentions him twice, in fact, in this passage. When he speaks of, as it were, the order of resurrection. Verse 23, but each in his own time, or in our order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, all who belong to Christ. See what Paul's been saying here in this next part of the passage. I mean, Paul's already established that, well, the resurrection of believers is guaranteed. It's assured, it's absolutely promised because of Jesus, the first fruits. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's gone before. But Paul wants to really to confirm this amazing truth. And he does it by an analogy. If we were to have read in verse 21 and 22, Paul spoke of, well, let's read, as by Adam, came death. By a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And so Paul's been comparing Adam, the first man, he's been comparing Adam with Jesus. Just as death came through one man, death came through Adam. Death through our representative man, Adam, and therefore we all die. So the resurrection of the dead comes through one man, comes through the second Adam, comes through our representative man, the Lord Jesus. All die because we all share in the sinfulness of Adam. We all die because of the fall and the context of original sin. But with Jesus, our representative man, he who's been raised to life. All who are in Christ will be raised to life. For us and Adam all die, also in Christ all be made alive. And as Paul tells us, when Adam fell, when Adam sinned, the process of death began. But with the Lord Jesus having been risen, that process of death, that process has been overturned. Jesus has triumphed over death. Yes, believers will still die. Yes, Jesus has triumphed over death. Death still is present. But it follows that believers who do die in the Lord will be raised to newness of life, because death can't hold believers forever if Jesus has conquered death by his resurrection. And so Paul's focusing, as we said, on the resurrection of believers in Christ. The resurrection of believers will happen. And those who have been in Adam and who know eternal life in Christ, you have that assurance of your resurrection. And with the resurrection of all who are in Christ affirmed, then Paul affirms the supremacy of the Lord Jesus, our pioneer, because Paul speaks of an order of resurrection, each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Each in his own order, each, as it were, in his own turn. Paul's making it absolutely clear of the unity that believers have in the Lord Jesus, even that unity in Christ's resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus and your resurrection, absolutely interconnected. But at the same time, there's a distinction. There's a distinction in priority. Christ first, and then believers. A priority, if you like, in time, as well as a priority in rank. And this is where this whole matter of Jesus as first fruits reappears. The Lord Jesus, the first fruits, the first. And then when he comes, when he returns to earth, then those who are his will rise. So Jesus, he has the preeminence. Because it's his resurrection that makes possible your resurrection. He has to have the priority. He has to have the glory. He's been first to be raised to eternal life. And so the event of resurrection, the event of even the resurrection of the dead, that began with the Lord Jesus' resurrection. And all who are in Christ will follow on from Christ's resurrection. And that's going to culminate when Jesus returns. Jesus, our first fruits. It's his resurrection that we affirm and confess and see in context with that promise, the promise of your resurrection to eternal life. Because Jesus has gone before. Remember first fruits, the first, the best, devoted to God, given sacrificially. Bring this all to Jesus. He is the first. He is the best. He offered himself as the sin offering for the sake of those who would follow him in resurrection. What about you? Will you follow the Lord Jesus? Will you follow the one who promises eternal life to all who trust in him? Grasp that promise. Believe it. Look to him. Trust in him. And follow him. And know that Jesus is the first fruits for your sake and for the glory of his name. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we have been brought to see the wonder, the truth, the glory of Jesus, the first fruits. He, our pioneer, he who has given us the promise of everlasting life through his resurrection from the dead. We pray, Lord, that all who hear the name of Jesus will know that Jesus is the first fruits, the first, the best, the one offered to you, the one given in sacrifice, the one who is our promise, our sure promise. Lord, bless, we pray, your word. Forgive anything that's been said amiss, anything that's been amiss from the truth of your word. But Lord, bless and continue with us as we continue in praise before your name. And Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.